Hey, attempted adults. We have all now been in lockdown during pandemic for 3 or 4 months, and we have had to make some decisions about how we're going to continue to thrive and adapt to the world that keeps throwing real shit at us. From a global pandemic, to murder hornets, to Ebola coming back, to a loss of many elders in our community, God have them rest in peace. This week in particular, it would be remiss of me as a Black host of this show to not take a moment to publicly denounce the disproportionate police brutality against Black people in the United States. I don't know if any of you know this, but despite the fact that Black people in America only make up about 13% of the U.S. population, Black Americans are 2.5 times as likely as white Americans to be killed by the police. This is deplorable, and no one, no person, no individual, no institution should stay silent about supporting Black lives. So I will take this quick moment of silence and then say the names of Black men and women who have lost their lives at the hands of the police. So a quick moment of silence. Thank you. Let's say their names. George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, Michael Brown, Eric Gardner, Justin Howell, Sean Monterosa, Philando Castile, and Jamel Floyd, to name a few. This is not all of the names, and many of them will never know, but I think it's important to hear and say their names today. To be clear, this podcast, Attempted Adults, stands and supports Black lives, because Black lives matter. Now on to the show. One of the ways that I've been coping with the world being on fire is by meeting up with what I call my resiliency circle. We do this in a bi-weekly, informal Zoom setting, where we catch up on whatever was going on in our lives, discuss what's happening in the world or what isn't happening in the world, and also keep each other accountable for self-care. We talk about movies and books and things we're reading. Here's a snippet of one of our most recent wind downs. I have to say, it was a little more heavy based on what was happening in the world, but I'm still excited to share it with you today. Happy listening. And welcome to another episode of Attempted Adults with Chris Marai. We're so excited to have a really special episode with you all today. This is the start of our new series, Adulting in Pandemic. And I have three really special people here with me. I call them my resiliency pod because they have been the three people who I could reach out to at any point in time during this pandemic, whether or not I was feeling good or feeling sad or feeling stressed at work. I could reach out to these folks to like be honest and real about what's going on in my life. And so there's Sam Pulley. Say what's up.
Hey, everybody.
There's Lanice Beavers. Say hey.
Hello.
And Nisha Lee Ahmed.
Good to be here.
Welcome, you guys. So just to be clear, we are having our regular wind down. So we have started this wind down, Sam Pulley's great idea. We started off every week during a pandemic on a Friday night, and then we kind of moved from that being really honest about what our bodies needed, what our emotions needed, and kind of did it every 2 weeks, and then sometimes even more haphazardly than that. But the point is that we can get together and we can talk about things and be like just Black and brown women celebrating and being real with each other. So, okay. So, y'all, this has been a really taxing week. For a lot of different reasons. We're still in the pandemic. We are still dealing with Black people dying at the hands of police, right? And I guess I'm really interested in what you've been doing to cope over this time. We've had conversations before about self-care and the different ways that we're self-caring throughout pandemic, but I think this is unique. How are you dealing with now? How are you coping now?
I don't think I've figured that out yet. I think before last week, before the murder of George Floyd and the subsequent protests, I like finally got into a swing of things. Like I was exercising 3 to 5 times a week. I was sort of starting to get more sleep again. And I sort of like had a routine down and I was really proud of myself. And I was just like, yeah, like finally I have some normalcy. like miss the pandemic in my life. And then really like last week happened. And I sort of have just been taking it day by day and sometimes hour by hour. And for me, what that means or what that can look like is like me just really listening to myself. Like sometimes I don't want to be as present during my workday. And so just really trying to work when I have the energy. And sometimes that means that I am trying to cram everything I need to do for the day within the span of an hour or two, because I know at some point I'm going to hit my wall today. So just really trying to work within my productivity windows. I think I am starting to get into, I think starting to find things that help me feel more productive or make me feel like I'm taking care of myself. And one of those things, even though I hate it, is trying to be up to date with the news or still being on social media. Just because like I find social media a very informative place, especially right now, like there are so many resources. So I try to use my social media in that way, but also try to use my platforms on social media in an informative way. But I don't think I've actually found like a foolproof method on what it means to take care of yourself or take care of myself during this time. And I think that's okay, because I think what I need every day or even from hour to hour can vary.
I think that's real. One of the most beautiful things and an act of resistance for us as brown and black people is to listen to our bodies, is to take time for ourselves and say, what do I need from hour to hour that some capitalist patriarchy hasn't decided it for me? What am I doing? How am I breathing through this day in a way that feels good for me? And I think that's so real.
So I think for me, I think I would agree with Lanice in that I don't know if I really have found a way to cope right now, but I have found ways to just sit with it a bit more. So in the wake of everything happening, I also started classes at the same time and had other responsibilities that all were tacked into the same 1 week. So this week has been one of the most exhausting weeks that I've had, especially in quarantine. There has not been a single day that I've gone to bed before 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. and then have had to wake up by 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. And due to anxiety through everything, I've actually been waking up earlier than that. I've also been hosting some sessions where people can drop in and just talk a little bit about what's going on. I held one session that was just for Black people and another session that was open to the community. And just seeing all of the love and support that was in those sessions has been amazing. I also posted on social media that I'm tired of giving out this information and talking to people and educating people for free, because it feels a lot like a second job. And people have been paying me. And just seeing all of the support in that and from people that I never even expected to send me anything or even acknowledge my presence. They have been not just financially supporting me, but also just supporting me as a person and reaching out and saying, I know everything is going on and I know the world is on fire right now, but I just want you to know I support you, I appreciate you, and I apologize if I've ever dismissed you.
Yes, for Black and brown people being paid for labor. Go ahead. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about your Zoom sessions in a bit.
This past week has been really hard for Black and brown folks. I am so grateful to the Black women who are here today and in general, Black women in my life. I could not be where I am without them. And so as a non-Black person of color, I have been thinking a lot about how I can support the movement, but also how I can take care of myself, because of the ways in which white supremacy come up in my life and in my work. And initially, I couldn't tell up from down, and I felt very lost. I was in a meeting with colleagues, and they were going on about communication in our team, and it was a great conversation, but I couldn't pay attention. And when my boss eventually called on me, I was vulnerable with them in saying, there's a lot going on right now. I am in mourning with the Black community. I am really struggling to focus right now. A lot of the ways that I have been taking care of myself have been involving being honest with the people who I work with and who I live with, letting them know when I'm not okay, and also where are the places where they can help support me, picking up some chores for me, or letting people know that there's no way I'm going to be able to cook tonight. We've got to get takeout from Black businesses. And the other thing that has been really helpful is processing with a therapist and a counselor online. So since the pandemic has hit, I know that online therapy has really boomed, and it's been incredibly helpful. I check in with both a therapist and a counselor every week. There's plenty of lists going around of all of the ways in which we can help support the movement. And so I have been engaging in some really meaningful work that has genuinely brought me energy. I was thinking, I really want to take a nap. I really don't want to do anything. I can't see a future right now. And then I work with some really passionate people in my free time. We came out with just a beautiful statement of Black solidarity within our union. And I was energized after that. It was no need for a nap. It was, let's get up, let's do something.
Yes. Naturally, I want to hear a little bit more about how you all are advocating for yourselves, both in workspaces, how you've chosen to be active in this movement. So you've all kind of touched on it a little bit, going a little bit deeper. Like, how did you get there? Why did you choose the avenue that you did? Because I think, especially in the media and in things that we've watched, there's always seems to be that there's one way to participate in movements. You have to be marching, you have to be loud, you have to post on social media, you have to repost certain things. It just feels very narrow. What I have been learning in my own healing this past week, and also working with my therapist, she's been talking a lot about me working through my superhero syndrome and the need as a Black woman to hold all things and to, I'm an empath, so I feel a lot of things for people I talk to, my friends, my partner even, who is a Black man, my siblings, I have Black male siblings, you know, like just holding a lot of this, I think, and feeling like I need to do something. So I'll talk more about what I'm doing as I work through my superhero syndrome, but I really want to know more about the avenues that you've chosen, as you are people that I really admire and love.
I am very fortunate to have a supervisor who is a Black woman and is literally super supportive of anything that I could ever do, whether it's work-related or not. Like, I can turn to her and tell her I'm going to replant every single follicle of grass in my backyard. And she'd be like, okay, let me know what you need. Like, let me know if you need me to help you get a bag of grass seeds or something. But like, literally, like, she's so supportive in everything I do because she just really wants to see Black women win, right?
Does anyone have a response to that?
So for how I chose my form of activism, which was hosting the virtual sessions to talk to people, essentially, I really wanted to go out and protest. It's actually something that I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to stand up for something that I believed in. I thought that that was just a way to show that you were an active member of society, an active member of your cultural groups and what have you. But at the same time, that's also when I started classes and would have meetings at the same time as a lot of the protests. I was really starting to beat myself up for not being able to take part. But then I realized, you know what, there's a lot of people that aren't able to physically get outside and go to the protest, but still want to learn, still want to talk, still want to listen. That's how I created my virtual sessions. I really wanted to first just talk to other people that looked like me. I just wanted to talk to other Black people. So that's how I started with the Black only virtual session, where I was able to listen to other Black voices and also hear that I wasn't alone and that there were other people who were in this with me that wanted to listen to me and wanted to be listened to. The next day I held a session for anyone in the community, and by community, I meant global community. So I invited friends from all over the world, essentially. And it was just their opportunity to just listen to other people of color. There were other Black people on there, other non-Black people of color that were on there. and we were able to just give resources and talk about why some people advocate for these resources while other people advocate for these, for other resources, which ones we felt more comfortable talking to white people about, which books we wanted to give white people that we felt really could use a better understanding of what was going on. And we also talked a little about things like performative allyship. And in that conversation, we've actually called out each other on some of the things that were not helpful for the movement and how they could improve it for the future.
I mean, I'd love to hear a little bit about that. What were some of the resources that were talked about for the white allies? And also, what were some of the actions? And this is a question that's open to everyone. Like, what are some of the ways that allies have been reaching out to you that have felt good? And what are some ways that haven't felt good?
So when it comes to ways people have reached out to me, I actually talked to the people that were on the call about when they text another Black person and say, I feel sad about what's going on in the world, but I want to check on you. That is not helpful because essentially, I don't care how you feel. And you're asking me, you're not even asking, you're requiring me to hold your emotions while you deal with this when I have so many emotions myself, and that's not fair to me. So we talked to them about that and how they could better send that text message without that requirement of you need to hold space for my feelings in this. So actually, very specific example is one of my coworkers actually posted in our office group chat saying, good morning, everyone. And to all of my Black coworkers, I would like to support you. Please feel free to reach out to me. And there are very few of us in the office to where she could have just reached out to us all individually. And it seemed like that was just too much of a burden or too much work for her to reach out to all three or five or three or four or whatever of us. And I actually ended up talking to her about that because that was, in a sense, performative allyship.
Thank you. Anyone else had ways that people have reached out? I guess for me, I've had a few people reach out to drop meals, like just say, hey, I'm cooking. And if you're interested, I'd be happy to just drop you some food without making me hold any feelings or even like talking about what's happening in the world, just offering food. And I always think food is a way for people to come together. Under normal circumstances, I don't really eat other people's food. So that's been a little strange for me. And y'all already know, these are my friends on the call, but I cook a lot and I love cooking and hosting people. So that's actually something that I typically do. So it's been actually sort of healing for me to have people bring me food or bring me things, because I often feel like I spend a lot of time holding people up and taking care of others. And even as a wellness person, I spend less time taking care of myself. So it's been sort of nice to have that. But I guess one of my fears over the last few days has been, how long is this going to last? Is this allyship for the next couple days, the next week? Or will this allyship continue until we start to see real change in this country? And that has brought me a sense of sadness, in a way, I guess, is the easiest way to put it, because I don't feel confident that my white allies will be there in 2 weeks, most of them. And I think for some other folks that have reached out in ways that I haven't loved, I've said to them, listen, if you're someone who I haven't talked to since 2009, maybe I don't need to hear from you right now. I really want to hear from my regular white friends that I see on a regular basis, because they show me allyship all of the time. So I don't know, that's just how I kind of felt about it. And I'm like, these are other ways that I think you can help. Thank you for reaching out. And at the same time, like, there are organizations that need your money. There are scholarship organizations that need your money that focus on helping Brown and Black youth. We need you to go out there and march and stand in front of a Black person and keep them safe. Like, these are the things that you can do, in my opinion. So that's kind of what I've been thinking about.
So I wanted to go ahead and go answer some of your questions. Mm-hmm. So in regards to advocating for myself at work, I have really just given myself permission to take the time that I need. If I need to just take the rest of the day off, I will let my boss know that I just can't do it today. And I have utilized that twice now. So once last week and once this week. And it's hard to take time for ourselves. And especially as women of color, we really exert ourselves in so many different ways and overextend. And then there's this level of guilt that it's not enough. And so what I was trying to do this past week is really try to be kind to myself and to give myself permission to grieve and to mourn and to not be okay. In giving myself this permission, I worry less about maybe what colleagues are thinking or how flaky I might be seeming at work, because ultimately I need to take care of myself. I think another way that I have been advocating for the movement at work is actually sharing resources, sharing articles with my colleagues so that they are in the know, whether they want to or not. So they are, my colleagues are white, and so they get to have this choice, right, as a result of their privilege and whether they interact with the news or not. And I just make sure that everyone is aware of exactly what is going on in the country right now and has been for the last hundreds of years.
Yeah, I love that. Let them know they can't be hiding.
They can't be hiding, not with me as their colleague. And then I wanted to answer the question about how I chose my form of activism and why. So one of the first protests that did break out in Hartford, Connecticut, that was last Saturday. My goodness, it's been a week. And I actually was part of the Cancel Rent Caravan. And so that was a form of, that was a protest that was social distanced and absolutely supports the Black community as well as other communities that are suffering as a result of this pandemic, having lost our jobs, not necessarily mine, and not being able to afford rent. And so these are some of the different ways that I engage in activism already in my community. And it was such an honor to be able to witness the protest for Black lives. I actually have a variety of disabilities, and so it's not easy for me to be able to join in a march. And that's something that I'm still trying to cope with, because I was always that child that read too much, and I would fall into this. It was really important to me, but I would spiral into reading more and more and more about all of the different horrors of our country's history. And I knew from a young age that I will never stop fighting for the Black community. In thinking about that, it's hard for me to not go to protests, but I have to be realistic with different immunocompromised folks that are in my life and making sure that in the era of COVID that I am doing as much work as possible, but with the least harm possible. So the things that I have been doing in regards to my forms of activism are absolutely reaching out to the Black women in my life and just letting them know that they're everything to me and I'll never stop fighting for them. I also went out of my way to just leave my house one day just so I can support some of my closest friends. And we had a wonderful time. And I'm just so glad that I could share space and time with these folks. I also think that as non-Black people of color, while we can take some time to rest, a lot of this work is on us. And we need to make sure that we are talking with our communities, with our families, because colorism is so real. And it is really important for me as a Bangladeshi woman to be raising awareness in my Bangladeshi communities. So I've been talking a lot to my family, making sure that I'm doing my best to not get really angry and have like a productive conversation with them, which is a skill and it's something that I'm learning.
That's amazing.
For me, taking care of myself professionally is taking care of myself personally, which means I'm going to move home. And I know that at home, I'll feel a lot safer because I have a support system. Like this last weekend, I got harassed leaving Walmart while I was in my car. And then the whole way I was thinking, what if this person decided to follow me? Like, what would I do? Go to the police? No. Like, who would I turn to? Thinking through that makes me feel better in my professional and personal life. to answer your next question, I think the way I've been viewing my role in all of this is that I would love to protest, but right now, you know, living somewhere where I live by myself, I don't feel safe to protest. So I've been trying to direct my energy elsewhere. One of the ways that's doing that is donating when I can, because my money's short. It's not long. It's very short. So just like giving money, any amount of money, like when I can. And then another thing that I've been doing is like posting resources on my Instagram story and making them permanent on my highlights page. Yesterday, I did a few polls about racial gaslighting that it was really enlightening in the sense to see who was engaging in the sense that I found that some people who were engaging, I went to college with them, never thought I'd see them engage in this stuff in any type of way. And so it was also, I think, refreshing to see the type of growth people have done post-graduation, but seeing the ways in which I think a lot of non-Black people and white people I know are interrogating themselves and the roles that they play, not only in racial gaslighting, but any form of white supremacy and anti-Blackness. I think in these conversations that people are having, me, not in the sense that these conversations are mutual in the sense of we're having something back and forth, hearing them talk about the ways in which they've been complicit and thinking critically about that and trying to do better has been refreshing in the sense that I feel like we are really living in history. Like, this is a critical moment in our history and how everyone has played a role. And so I really am enjoying that about everything, if that makes sense.
It does. Thank you so much for sharing.
I make sure that I'm listening to Black voices. I always check my articles to see what their sources are. I am also taking time to connect with activists in Connecticut, making sure that they know that I'm here. And so if they have any other ideas for me to be able to take part, that I'm open to them. And then the last few things that I've been doing are sharing opportunities to engage in discussion. So for example, I am a Bangladeshi Muslim woman, and the Islamic Association of Greater Hartford is putting on a live Facebook page event called Becoming Racially Conscious Muslims. And so I'm really excited to engage in that later this evening and just talk about how we can be working within our communities and within our circles to have an impact. The last thing is that I work in the field of public health. There is so much information about how racism is a public health issue. And I have just been making sure that within my various public health circles that I am sharing and bringing attention to articles and data that is proving this, showing this, and bringing it to people's attention.
I think we've gone kind of like out here, right? So kind of meta about like what the things we're doing and like how we're putting out into the world. And I also am interested in how are you asking for care from your friends? What is it that you need from your friends, and how do you communicate with them in healthy ways about what you need or don't need at a particular time? It doesn't have to be your white ally friends, just your friends who are in your life today.
For my friends of color, and especially my Black friends, I'm actually not really asking much of them because I know that they're also going through a lot right now. So I guess I am just using resources like therapy and self-care to just take a step back, try to just sit with my emotions and get myself through this and get professional help to get myself through this, and not asking my Black friends or my friends of color to guide me along the way.
I'm very fortunate to have friends who support me wholly, especially like I would probably say like majority of my friends are Black, but for like my friends who are white or non-Black people of color, like they have always supported me when it comes to wanting to be an ally. And I think what a lot of that looks like is that, you know, like we know that like allyship isn't supposed to be perfect. Or like you do certain things, you check off certain boxes and now you're an ally. Congrats on getting that badge. But I think me and my friends who aren't Black have always had conversations around race, because that's like my qualifier for friendship. If I can't talk around talk about race around you, we can't be friends. If I can't say the N-word around you and you get super uncomfortable, we can't be friends. Like, that's how I sort of like weed out people in the beginning. And I understand that people grow, but like, if I legitimately can't talk about race because I talk about it all the time because it's literally everywhere because society, then we can't really be friends. And so I'm fortunate enough to have people in my life who understand that and who are, I think, actively working on being anti-Black and anti-racist in varying ways. There's not just one way. And for some people, it's like reading, it's watching documentaries, it's doing X, Y, and Z. When it comes from like me needing space or asking what I need for my friends, it just really depends on who I'm talking to. Some friends, like, I can go days without talking to and like need that space and it'll be fine. But you know, there are people I talk to every day and I'm just like, okay, so if you don't hear from me for a few days, y'all know I'm fine. Particularly because I tend to go through waves where like I don't want to talk to anybody, or there are like only two people I can actually tolerate talking to without cussing them out. And I would say like these past 2 weeks have been particularly difficult because my birthday was Tuesday. And so I was just like, man, I really want to celebrate my birthday, but I'm reading the room and I don't know if I could post about me celebrating my birthday, but I'm gonna do it anyway. And so I was really hesitant about having a Zoom party, partially because like I was fatigued with Zoom back in like April and just annoyed with it. And one of my best friends was like, so do you want a party or you don't? Like, we are a week away. You tell me if you want a party. And I was just like, I don't know. Like, And she's like, okay, great, thanks. We're going to throw you a party. And I was just like, okay. And it was actually not really looking forward to it until like the day before my birthday. I was just like, ooh, a party. So the day of my birthday, like Chris and Sam surprised me with a little picnic and it was wonderful. And then after that, one of my coworkers like brought me cookies, like my favorite cookies she baked. And they literally made me want to weep. They were so good. And then like we talked on my porch for a bit and I was late to my own party. And then like all these people that I love were at my party and it was like legit Lanice themed and I love talking about myself. And I celebrate my birthday for literally the entire month of June. It was nice to like, I think, have like this moment of like happiness and joy and like not really think about the heavy things, the heavier things in life, even though like they're always on my mind. So it was just nice to one, focus on myself and just be surrounded, have a day filled with like people who genuinely care about me. So I think that's the way my friends are checking in. I'm the friend who's always like, communication is key, even though sometimes I lack in that. And I'm always the friend who's like, we have to take care of ourselves in any way that is best for us. And sometimes that hurts other people's feelings and that's fine. And so I think it's also nice to see my friends do that for themselves, even if it's just like, oh, they haven't spoken to me in 2 days. That's fine. They're taking care of themselves. I think modeling what self-care can look like for like my friends to see, especially my friends who don't take care of themselves, I think often enough. Just a side note, like I tell people, like legitimately, I take a day off work every month just to take care of myself. Like, you know, sometimes it's genuinely, I don't feel well. And sometimes it's just like, y'all getting on my nerves and I need some space to be by myself. But that's just me. I would encourage everybody to do that. It's a way for me to get back at capitalism too.
Always get back at capitalism, down with the patriarchy.
Exactly.
You are a role model. I gotta do that.
I actually love that because I think that segues us really nicely into our last topic for this wind down, which is, I think during pandemic, we've all been really forced to kind of grow up in a lot of different ways and take care of ourselves in ways that we never really have had to before, maybe to the same degree. And so I'm kind of interested in hearing about ways that you've had to grow up more during pandemic, during this time, how you've had to take care of yourself more. Before we go into that, I'm going to say, to add on to Lanisa's little thing, that I also used to take all of my personal days. I used to plan them out ahead of time based on like the academic calendar. I would be like, this week always stressful, putting it in here, because sometimes I'm not good that when I'm in the moment of being stressed to be kind enough to myself to take those times. So I put them in way ahead of time. Thank you, Lanice, for your courage.
And you don't get paid out for your sick days, so you might as well use them. That's how I feel about it.
Amen. Amen. So you're growing up. What have y'all been doing? What new lessons have you been learning during this time to wrap it up?
So as you guys know, but the world does not, I cannot cook. That is a strength that I just do not have and I previously did not care to have. But now during pandemic, where I have to actually sit and eat my own food, I previously, when I would cook, I would actually give myself food poisoning at least once a week because I was such a bad cook. But now I have actively gone out of my way to learn how to make food that first off does not make me sick and second off does actually taste good. So thank you guys also for giving me the resources to be able to do that and also the encouragement to be able to do that. Also from the wind downs, I have been learning the importance of taking care of myself and dealing with my own emotions and my own self-care in my own way. So prior to the pandemic, I actually had never gone to therapy, but during the wind downs, I know we talked about it during one of our first sessions, and I ended up that night finding a therapist. The next morning she emailed me back saying, yes, let's meet. And I met with her the next day. And I have been meeting with her every week since. Actually, this week we had two sessions because there's just a lot going on in the world and the world is on fire. And I recognized that I really needed that. And previously I would never actively say I needed help or I would never ask for help when I needed it. So even being able to ask my therapist for a second session was a lot for me and something that I am really proud that I was able to do.
Yes, we are so happy that you are using your voice more to stand up for yourself, get the things that you need to survive. That brings me so much joy and so much happiness. For me, I have been using pandemic. You know, y'all, I live in a white area. It's already hard to get Black hair care and skin care in this area. And so I have taken it upon myself to really learn how to make things that work specifically for my body and my hair and stuff like that. So, and being a little bit more intentional about my self-care. So I've been using Saturday mornings and Friday mornings to basically from whenever I wake up, I try not to rush myself around waking up because I often push myself to get up and get doing. I hate wasting time. And I have to remind myself that like taking care of yourself is not a time waste. It is actually a time maximization because the more you take care of yourself, the more efficient you are with the things that you do and how you thrive and live in the world. So I've been taking those two mornings to both go to therapy, do yoga, you know, check my body, make sure my skin is taken care of. I shave because life be rough out here when no one sees your legs and all of those different things. So just like bodily care, making my own hair products. Today I woke up a Saturday morning and I did a restorative trauma yoga, which was so amazing that my therapist sent to me. And then I made rose water toner for my skin. You see that glow, y'all? Mm. So, you know, we've been doing that and just like finding ways to like really tell my body that it is the most important thing in the world, even with the world burning. And watching TV, but that's a whole nother episode, I think, because this conversation has been really good, but we have a lot of things to talk about us. Anyway, back to y'all.
Something that has really forced me to grow up is money. So pandemic money is everything in a capitalist society. And so we're always supposed to have an emergency fund of sorts and be saving. And I was never good at that. The pandemic has really showed me that this is an emergency. I should probably save money. I should probably check in on my finances and get a hold of them. Pandemic has slowed things down a lot. I don't leave the house as frequently. I'm not adventuring and spending money like I would be because it's hot outside and it's sunny outside, at least it is in Vernon, Connecticut. And so it's allowed me to slow down and to be able to track my finances. And then with that, I'm able to, hopefully if things get faster, I can keep up. But having an emergency fund is something that I am taking way more seriously now because I have no idea what the next year is going to look like.
That's really important. And I think that's something that I've also been thinking a lot about, is actually the second step. I've always been pretty good about saving, but how do you move from saving to utilizing your money in the smartest ways? And like just dealing with a lot of the myths that I was taught from a family of low income, you know, like I was always taught, don't have a credit card. Credit cards are for emergencies only, and you use your cash on hand. Like my father bought our house cash, has bought all the cars cash, like everything. That's always the way I was brought up. And over a pandemic, we've actually started a financial study group with my partner and I and like some of my cousins to like think about finances and maximize the money that we're using. And also thinking about how to grow family wealth, because I think that's very important and we don't spend enough time with that in Black and Brown communities because we haven't been taught how to do that. So the one thing that I would encourage people to do is research credit cards. They are very, very useful. Use them smartly. Use them to pay your everyday bills. Like you go to the grocery store, you use it, you get a gas, you use it, and then you pay it off when you get paid so that you can build credit, get great travel miles and all kinds of great stuff. That's another episode, but that's my little, what we've learned so far. Who's next?
It's me. I am also not great at saving money. Like, I suck at it and have always sucked at it. Like, I was the kid who used to borrow money to buy ice cream, like from the ice cream truck. Like, I'm like, please, I just need 50 cents. And it's weird because me and my brother are 11 months apart, right? And so, like, we've always hit a lot of milestones together. So it's like, and my brother is weirdly good at saving money. Like, he was the kid who wouldn't buy ice cream because he's like, why would I spend my money on that? And I'm like, well, why wouldn't you? Like, it's ice cream. And so like pandemic, like I'm like actually saving money. And I was like talking to my siblings about it and my mom. And I was just like, y'all won't believe this. Like I saved some money. And they were like, what? The pandemic has taught me to grow up in that sense. Like I need to like retain money for emergencies. And logically I know that. It's just not something I practice often until recently. And along with that, that means like I need to pay more attention to like taking care of my credit and like monitoring my credit and making sure that I'm very intentional about the way that I spend money. I also think that trying to be more ethical about spending my money, in particular to support like Black-owned businesses or businesses that support Black communities. And another way that this pandemic has made me grow up is cleaning. I hate cleaning. My mom used to always joke that growing up, she wished that I could afford a cleaner, like somebody to like clean my place. Like she wished that I could afford cleaning services. And I really wish that for me. Like every month I'm like, would it hurt if I have somebody come clean twice a month? And I'm like, no, Lanise, you should clean. I hate cleaning. Like it doesn't
They're not
bring
always
joy.
That expensive, just to say. Oh, I have a little sister who is a little like you. And she be bringing in people to clean her one bedroom in my mom's house. No joke.
I might do that when I move back home. So, like, I'm there. But, like, I hate it. Always have hated cleaning. I was the kid who, like, threw everything under the bed and in the closet because if you couldn't see it, it was clean, right? And I'm like, nobody can see in the closet. Nobody can see under the bed. The floor is clean. What's up? And so since I'm, like, literally in the house every day, like, I find myself like doing, like cleaning little by little every day in a sense. And I'm just like, maybe my mama was right about that. I think it's nice to sort of develop those skills and like be a person who is cleaning every day versus like, oh, I feel like I can't clean because I'm tired and the energy and the time I could spend cleaning, I could be asleep or I could be doing all these other things. But I do have time to do a little every day. So that's made me grow up in that way.
Perfect. Well, I mean, with that, I think there's a lot more growing that we can do. And I hope that this podcast helps people do some of that growing. And I know this episode was a little bit different than our previous episodes, but I think it was really important to focus on Black lives and to focus on what Black and Brown women are doing to take care of themselves during this time as a form of adulting, and also to think very carefully about ways in which we prioritize ourselves, say yes to things, talk to our employers about what we need. I think those are all very important adulting skills that came out in this conversation. So my very last question to my guests is, y'all are all adults in different forms of your life. What topics do you think we need to talk about moving forward? It's an open slate because it's a whole new podcast. So let me know.
Cooking and food. Food safety, all of that.
I would love to talk about cooking.
I think relationships of any sort. I don't know. I just think talking about relationships in general and the ways that we treat relationships or may prioritize certain relationships more than others is important to be talking about. I love talking about intimacy, like dating. Like, I think there's so much you can talk about when it comes to adulthood, like that. Nothing is really off limits.
We're definitely going to get into some of that. I got a couple cool episodes lined up. Some sex also, and masturbation episodes. Get excited.
Yeah. I like those things. what was I going to say? Crap. I think, maybe like a series on unlearning things from like childhood or talking about like childhood trauma. Like, I tell my siblings all the time that I'm like, y'all should go to therapy. And I'm just like, if you don't have childhood trauma, I would be very concerned that you are a robot. Like, I'm like, you are a government plant. You are artificial intelligence. Like, even then, I feel like they got to program something because everyone has some sort of trauma. Going to therapy is great because it's a space for you to just talk about yourself. And I feel like some people sometimes don't do that enough.
I love that. Thank you for that. Any other ones before we wrap it up?
I would like to know what kind of shortcuts there are out there. So a really great example was when we were talking about getting someone to come in and like clean your room or something like that. Who has the time to do all of the things that we do and then also keep our homes clean and be able to live in like a livable space? We can afford to have some help and we're told that we have to do it all. So where are the places in which we can ask for a little help?
I freaking love that because I believe in working smart. That's why I refuse to take any apartment that don't have a dishwasher. It's just a no-go for me.
Amen. My next one is laundry. I need a laundry unit inside. Yes. This is terrible.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. That has always been on my list. But yes, okay, I like these. So with that, thank you all for joining us on this episode of Attempted Adults with Chris Marai. I love you and appreciate you. Thank you so much. Mwah. Until next time, happy adulting.